Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So imagine with me our gospel reading this morning. In the jostling crowd, we mill about the bluff where Jesus is teaching. His clear tones call out hard words. You must leave everyone and everything if you want to be my disciple. Count the cost. Count the cost. You're going to have to leave all of your tangled patterns of life behind. You're going to have to repent. We shift our feet. We chew the inside of our lips. There are frowns and awkward coughs from the wings of the crowd. Leave everything? But a few people edge nearer at these hard words. A knot of tax collectors, a bevy of women of ill repute. They creep towards Jesus. The hard words seem to have ignited a blush of hope on their shy, timid faces. Can we repent? Can we change our lives? The scribes are rolling their eyes. Their growling stage whispers reach Jesus. This fool receives the people who can't get their lives together. He even eats with them. Jesus cocks an eyebrow. That slight smile plays over his lips. He clears his throat and settles in for a parable. It's a tale right out of the Psalms and the prophets. A holy riddle in the vein of David or Jeremiah. What person among you, if they have 100 sheep and lose one, won't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go looking for the lost one until he finds it? And once he finds it, he slings it on his shoulders with joy. And as he comes into his house, he calls his neighbors, he calls his family. Rejoice with me because I have found my one sheep that was lost. And we all stand there on the bluff, imagining the scene. We can see it in our mind's eye. A sheep following a meandering spray of green into the hills, nibble by nibble, mouthful by mouthful, further and further away from the flock. And then when the sheep sees that the shepherd is nowhere to be found, it hops and bucks at the sense of liberty. No shepherd to prod with his stick. But then the grass disappears. The promise of a green swale just over the ridge is all a lie. The shadows lengthen on the steppe. The wolves sing to the moon. A lion's throaty growl rumbles in the dark. The sheep surges down a bluff, plunges its woolly frame into a patch of thorn brush. It lays down to sleep, lost, trembling. And as the sun rises, the creature repeats its wandering. Its hooves press the same soft soil down the same paths. Maybe this time it will find the swale of green grass. But the lost sheep ends up dodging a pouncing lion all over again and spending another night shivering in the thorn brush. But then there is the shepherd. He calls the sheep's name from the bluff. He crawls on hands and knees into the thorn brush. He pulls the sheep into his scratched arms. And outside of the brambles, he slings it over his shoulders, rejoicing all the way home. Jesus' brown eyes sweep over us as we imagine the tale. I tell you that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than 99 righteous people not in need of repentance. And we feel the sharp edge of Jesus' words, the irony, because the truth is that we all need repentance. Publicans, plumbers, salesmen, scribes, electricians, and priests. As the prophet Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We all wander into patterns that deform our lives in ways little and large. We nibble grass further and further from the flock. We lay down to sleep in the thorn brush of our sins. We play in the wilderness where the lions stalk and the wolves howl. We tend to think of sin as a kind of frolic, a rollicking good time, a freedom from the shepherd's prodding stick and silly rules. But sin is a dead end, a losing oneself in the step, a ceaseless wandering. Sin is inhuman, impersonal. It twists us into relentless habits that leave us empty and alone. We keep pressing our hooves into the same soft soil, down the same paths. And in desperation, we imagine that this time we will find happiness in the cycles of broken promises, listlessness, boasts, grudges, excuses, whining, and self-pity. This time we will find that swale of green grass, the happy life. But as we bolt from the lion's pounce once again, as we lay shivering in the thorn brush once again, and as we feel the emptiness in our bellies and bones once again, we know it's time to change. But can we change? All we know are the dead-end patterns. Can we repent? But it's just at this moment that we hear Jesus' voice calling from the bluff above us. His clear tones ring out through the thorn brush of our self-imposed desolation. Repent. His sandals snap on the stony path. He treads lightly towards our fevered cries. He cups a tan hand to his mouth. He shouts out our name. Simon Peter! Matthew, Nevada, James, we are the lost sheep, and Jesus comes to find us. He comes to bring us home. He comes to give us repentance. He calls us to repent, and he gives us to repent. In the words of the 14th century English mystic Walter Hilton, this asks he, for this gives he. Jesus crouches beside the mess of intertwined brambles. He sloughs off his sandals, and on hands and knees, he scoots forward into the spikes. Sharp rocks bloody his palms and feet. Barbed limbs rake his back. Thorns press against his temple like a crown. Bruised and torn, he finds each one of us. He coaxes and clucks. But we're not really sure we want to change. We shy from him. We bolt from his bleeding hands. But he would have us repent. He catches hold of our hocks. The thorns tear out clumps of our wool as he pulls us into his arms. Repent, he whispers. Repent. Come home with me. Outside the brambles, Jesus hefts us to his shoulders, and we can smell the salt of his sweat. Can we change, sisters and brothers? Can we get out of the dead-end cycles of our sins? Yes. Yes. Because Jesus gives us repentance. The twinges of guilt we feel are the thorns tearing out the clumps of wool in our lives. Those clumps of wool lost as he pulls us into his scratched arms. And as he carries us back up the bluff, he gives us opportunities to say no to our favorite sins. Repentance is long and hard work, the work of our whole Christian lives, turning from sin, our favorite sins, to God, a turning around and going home. It's hard because we are used now to the thorn brush. We're used to trusting ourselves around devilish lions. It's hard not to fight against the bleeding hands. It's hard, in the words of our epistle reading, to be humble. It's hard not to struggle and thrash on Jesus' shoulders. But the truth is that Jesus gives us all the ability to repent. This asks he, for this gives he. What batch of thorn brush is Jesus pulling you out of this morning? We all have sins that we have to keep repenting of. We all have sins that we like. And yet, the Good Shepherd calls. The Good Shepherd crawls in after us. The Good Shepherd pulls us into his scratched arms. Repent. Come home with me. Will you repent? Will I repent? The angels in heaven watch with bated breath. They wait to sing. For Jesus is carrying us home. He is good news. He is gospel. So repent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.